Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The new HBO documentary series called Pray, Obey, Kill follows a bizarre murder case that took place in a remote Swedish village in 2004. We'll speak with director Henrik Jørgensen next.
WNYC is supported by GEICO, offering a choice of ways to save on car insurance. More information at 1-800-947-AUTO, online at geico.com, or at a local GEICO office. Bard College's NYC-based hybrid MBA in sustainability with focuses in impact finance, circular economy, and sustainability consulting, now accepting applications for fall 2021 enrollment at bard.edu/MBA. Civic Affairs reporting on WNYC is supported in part by the New York Community Trust.
The pandemic showed that a lot of jobs usually done in offices can actually be done from home. That may permanently change how many Americans work, but not all Americans.
So yeah, I guess there was a little bit of a general resentment on that end, but I mean, you know, cars have got to be built. You got to do that in person.
Who's left out of the remote work revolution? This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on WNYC.
A new HBO Max docuseries takes a deep dive into a bizarre murder case that captivated Sweden in the early 2000s. The show is called Pray, Obey, Kill, and it follows two reporters, Anton Berg and Martin Johnson, as they investigate what really led to a murder and an attempted murder on the night of January 10th, 2004, in a small town called Nutby, Sweden. That night, a woman named Alexandra was shot dead in her bed. A man named Daniel was shot but not killed. All evidence led police to one suspect, a woman named Sarah Svensson. Sarah confessed to having shot both Alexandra and Daniel, but she also revealed that she had been driven to this act of violence by anonymous text messages, messages that seemed to imply that God himself wanted her to kill. The investigation then turns to the Pentecostal congregation that Sarah and the victims belong to, and quickly, two key players emerge, the husband of the murder victim and a woman who is known as the Bride of Christ. Henrik Jørgensen is the director of this series, which you can stream now on HBO Max, and you may also know him from his work on the acclaimed TV show and Nordic crime drama, The Bridge. Henrik, welcome to All of It.
Thank you very much.
So this series follows the work of two investigative journalists, Anton Berg and Martin Johnson. How did you get connected with them, and what drew them and you specifically to this case?
Yes, they started this project before I got into it. And so they did a lot of research and started filming actually too. And I was supposed to do a drama series for HBO and then it never got greenlit. So then HBO reached out actually to me and asked if I wanted to jump into this project. And I've always been fascinated by this story. And so I mean, I really wanted to do it. So it was, it's also interesting because I did a kind of similar documentary series a few years ago about the Swedish crime novelist Stieg Larsson, the girl with the dragon tattoo. And so it was it's a similar work, kind of working together with journalists who actually make all on not all but most of the interviews and the research, and then I come in as a director and kind of shape it into something, you know, building up the story and so on. I didn't know Anton and Martin before. I knew their podcast. They're doing a podcast about crime investigations in Sweden, and we had a very good. It was very nice to work with them, even though it's a bit complicated sometimes between journalism on one side and storytelling on the other side, kind of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, in a way this is, you know, we're watching them perform journalism, but it's very dramatic. I mean, this is, in a way, it feels almost at times fictional.
Yeah, this, and the story in itself is
yes.
kind of bizarre. So and that helps a bit, I guess. But well, I guess the whole series is it's kind of a we're merging two different. Well, you know, on the one hand side, it's the story about this congregation, about these people getting together, wanting to live with God 24/7, and you know, they are having all these dreams about this perfect life, and then it gets worse and worse. It gets, you know, it develops into a sect more and more, and all these this murder happens, and then it continues for several years with well, a lot of stuff going on in that congregation. But and then on the other hand, it's the investigation, Anton and Martin's investigation of the police work and the prosecutor's work. So it's like, in a way, it's two different stories that we put together, kind of. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, the kind of the main problem to solve for me, in a way, you know, to merge it together into one coherent story. Yeah.
And what do you remember about this case from when it was first in the news in 2004?
Yeah, I think I mostly remembered Sara Svensson, a young woman, blonde, very innocent kind of young woman, and she actually killed and almost killed two of her friends, close friends, really. Mm-hmm. And what was so strange was that she's always been saying that I didn't want to do this, you know, and she still says that, you know, I never wanted to do this, but still she felt that she was compelled to do it. She had to do it. And that's kind of the core of the whole thing, I guess, with the, I mean, she was very religious, of course, and mm-hmm. she felt she needed grace from God and also from the cry of Brides Christ. It was Valda that was the kind of the leader of the congregation, and so she felt that she was wrong, you know, towards God, and she kind of had to do this, and that was fascinating, I felt, and you know, Sweden is quite a secular society. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are religious, of course, but you know, it's more common that you say that, well, I don't know, I don't really believe in God or anything, you know, it's not, that's not uncommon at all. So it's I think it's very interesting that this happens in a country like Sweden that's very, you know, in many ways very modern and secular, and you know, we believe in in science and logical thinking and so on, and so it's it was very strange, the whole story.
Yeah.
And that picture of this young blonde woman, and she, her last name is Svensson. That's almost the most common Swedish name.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, and I think you may have answered that question, is, you know, what is the religious landscape like in Sweden? Are Pentecostal churches like the one you feature in your documentary, are they popular across the country at all?
Yes, they are. I mean, we have, you know, like a state church, and that's a little bit more modest in its way of dealing with things. And the Pentecostal churches are, you know, it's more lively, it's more singing, and you know, people speaking in tongues almost, and things like that. And then we have several different ones, Baptist churches and so on. And but this one, yeah, I mean, this one was very special, of course. It was it went far away from the normal Pentecostal congregation. Really, with its kind of its own way of reading the Bible and its own theology, in a way, with this ideas about Åsa being the bride of Christ, and that, you know, usually you look upon the Bride of Christ as the congregation itself, the people itself. But they started to think that, no, maybe it is a person, actually. Mm-hmm. And if it is a person, it has to be Åsa. So, and, you know, in, so in this little town, and, you know, it's really a small town, you know, they were walking around with this secret, you know, this, they were going to become, you know, the center of the universe, you know, when Jesus comes back, he will come to them and to Åsa and Mary, Åsa, you know, that's what they were waiting for. Either him coming to her on the earth or the other way around, that she was coming, you know, going to die and meet up with Jesus in heaven. But still, they were the chosen ones, kind of, in the little village. So they had this secret, and they, of course, they felt that they were very special. And I mean, that's so, I mean, everyone wants to be a special person, you know, in life. So that's very, you know, it's you can understand it, you know, the need for it, to feel that, to find meaning in life, and to feel that you're very special. And they were living in this little, their own little congregation, just 100 people or something in the congregation. And I mean, that's a kind of a environment that where strange things can happen, I guess, because they, you know, they cut off the relations to relatives, and so it's just a normal sect problematic, or whatever you call it, you know, that you don't have any friends outside of the congregation any longer, and so on. So they were more and more brainwashed in a way to think in a special way, and they had these secrets, and everyone outside were, you know, were enemies. They were like the devil's work outside of the congregation, and so on. And I mean, that's fascinating how things like that can develop, I think, in a group of people.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Rebecca Ibarra, filling in for Allison Stewart, and I'm speaking with director Henrik Jørgensen about the HBO docuseries Pray, Obey, Kill. And I want to go back to what you were mentioning, because for our listeners, they might be confused. They're like, what exactly do you mean by this? And, you know, this starts with an attempted murder and a murder. And as the investigators get deeper into this case, it seems that a lot of it seems to point back to one woman, Åsa, who you mentioned, who is known as the Bride of Christ. But as you said, this term ends up being quite literal, it seems, and her congregation seems that she is being saved for when Christ returns. And I want you to tell us a little bit about the town where this takes place, Knutby. Apologies if I can't pronounce it correctly. Yep. What was the reputation of this town before this murder became associated with it?
Well, I don't even know if it had a reputation. It's a small place, like 40 minutes drive outside a town called Uppsala. That's 1 hour away from Stockholm, the capital of Sweden, where I am right now. And so it's out in the forest, kind of, and it's beautiful, but it's very small. And, you know, so people living there outside the congregation, I mean, they didn't really know what was going on in this congregation. It was, you know, so it was just a normal place, really, from the outside. And
You interview for this docuseries a lot of former Knutby pastors. And I mean, would you classify, first off, this congregation as a cult?
Yeah, a cult, or I use the word sect, but a cult is, maybe it's better. it developed into a cult after a while. I mean, from the beginning, it was a normal congregation, but... And what they did was that Åsa, actually, she traveled around to different cities or small places in Sweden and preached. And so she told young people to come to Knutby, and because we have something special going on there. So most of the people in the congregation, they actually moved to Knutby when they were very young, you know, like 18 or 19 or 20 or something like that. And so, and they lived, you know, in, there weren't really places to live. So they lived like 10 people in one house, and, you know, and so, and they had, you know, it was an atmosphere that was fantastic, they say, you know, because they felt that, well, something really nice was going on there. And I guess the problem is that there was a pastor who was sentenced for instigating the killing and the attempted killing. And he was a special kind of person. And he and Åsa together, maybe they weren't that good for each other, you know? But they fueled each other, kind of. And this is my theory that, I mean, not only mine, but I mean, Åsa, I think she really wanted to be someone special. So she waited for that moment when she could become someone special. So she kind of wanted Helge to find something, a place for Åsa, kind of, you know. And then they found out this thing about the Christ of Bride together. And this theory about it, their own theology. And for Helge, that was kind of good too, because he made Åsa happy, and that was good for him. And then he just, you know, went too far, kind of, because they, of course, they started to believe in this more and more. And then if you didn't believe it, you couldn't stay, you know, in the congregation.
And Helge, who you mentioned, does end up being convicted and goes to prison for instigating this murder. But he says in the documentary that he didn't believe he could be wrongfully convicted, that wrongful conviction is something that happens in other countries, but not in Sweden. So what should American audiences understand about the way the criminal justice system works in Sweden as they dive into the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think, at least, I don't know if it's true, but I think most Swedes believe that we have a justice system that works quite well. You know, you don't get sentenced, you know, if you're innocent, and you don't, it's not really possible to bribe, you know, people in the justice systems and things like that, you know. But, and so, I mean, Helge says that he is not the instigator. And I mean, he claims that actually that it's about these text messages that Sara thought came from God in the beginning. And then she, after a while, she kind of realized that, well, maybe they came from Helge's cell phone. But through, you know, from God, through him to her and so on. But and then Helge claims that they actually originated from Åsa to him. I mean, he hasn't been able to prove that, and we are trying to find out if there is any truth in that in the documentary series as well. And the thing is, I won't spoil it.
Let people figure it out on their own. Yeah. Lastly, Henrik, there are, you know, many recent or relatively recent docuseries on cults, whether religious cults or sects like the Rashnish movement in Oregon, or cults of personality like Nexium. So as viewers, what do you think keeps drawing us to these stories?
I guess they are extreme stories, of course, and that's always fascinating. But I think in this case, it's really easy to understand you know, the longing for finding meaning and finding a place, belong to something. You know, it's really what everyone wants in life, and that's what these people are doing. And they have a lot of trust and hope, and at the same time, they are very naive and uncritical in their thinking, and they are kind of giving up their inner selves, and you know, and that's that combination is really dangerous. And that's what you can learn from this documentary, really, that how dangerous it is when you stop listening to yourself. And, you know, these people, they all feel that, well, it feels wrong, but they still continue, you know. So, I mean, they should really, you know, stop there and feel that there's something wrong here and then stop, but they don't. They continue. And they feel that, you know, they have to continue and they have to listen to their priests, their pastors in the congregation, because they are closer to God. And I mean, that's the power abuse as well from the pastors, because they say that they have a closer contact with God. So God talks through them to the ordinary members of the congregation. And then it's possible for them to come to someone, to a member, and say that, well, I think you have too much focus on your family, on your kids, not enough on God. So I think you should sleep in a windshield for 6 weeks and just pray. Things like that. That happened. Things like that. No, so it's and that's yeah. I mean, that's really what we want to, you know, put up a kind of warning sign to say that, you know, listen to yourself, listen to your inner voice. And that's, I mean, that's, and I think that's a story that everyone in the world can relate to, you know. Doesn't matter if it's a religious context or something else, or political context. It's kind of the same mechanisms.
We've been speaking with director Henrik Jurickson about the HBO documentary series Pray, Kill, Obey. Henrik, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.